Hello, and welcome to the Tech Disruptors podcast hosted by Bloomberg Intelligence. In this podcast series, we talk with C-suite officers and management teams about their views on disruption and how it's driving their decision-making and strategy. My name is Brian Egger, and joining me today is Marcus Yoder, Chief Commercial Officer of Playtech USA. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Our pleasure. So Playtech is an Isle of Man-based public company listed in London. We know it's immersed in the world of omnichannel gaming, that providing content and technology services that include both B2C and B2C offerings and a comprehensive information management system. I want to begin, if I could, by way of introduction, touching on what I just mentioned. I know many investors think of the online gaming landscape as divided into B2B, business to business, and B2C, business to consumer operators. I know Playtech is active in both, and with obviously leaning fairly heavily into B2B, but I'm curious to know, how that positioning, both B2B and B2C to a degree, has advantaged the company globally.
Sure. Well, you are correct. We do have operations spanning from all the way to the B2C business that we have in Italy with Snaitech, all the way to the other sides where we are, air quotes, just a games provider. And I'll describe the pieces in between, which build up the bulk of our B2B business. Being able to have, top rank Italian B2C operator is fantastic for us because it's almost like Toyota racing design, right? So Toyota racing design builds fantastic racing cars. And then all of that technology, the technology that works, gets put back into the consumer vehicles that we buy on the road today. It's very much the same for us. We're able to work with our colleagues at Snaitech and really do good A/B testing and so forth, and then bring all that great technology back. And also, when we learn something new with one of our other operators, meaning for instance, Parks in the United States or North Star in Canada, Galerabet in Brazil, then we're also able to bring learnings that we take there back into our B2C business to help them improve. So it's actually, it's a very virtuous circle that we have. I mentioned things in between. So we'll go from being just a games provider to a full platform provider with our games, but also with our Playtech Open platform, where we have global, at least, access to 10,000 additional games from 350 plus suppliers. Not all those games are available in every single market, just based on what that game provider's business strategy is. But they are available at least through our technology. And then we move even further into what we will call structured agreements. And so that's something like I mentioned with North Star in Ontario and Canada, Galerabet in Brazil, where it's one step closer to the operation. Many times our people are actually operating it for the leadership of that organization. We will be the people on the end of the chat line, answering questions specifically to the consumers. That's something that we've done around the world, and is now we're offering that also to our operators here in the United States. And so basically at the end of the day, we look at what the market opportunity is, who the players are in the market, and determine which is going to be the best model for us and our shareholders.
So picking up on the theme of trying to find the best model for your stakeholders and obviously your customers, and having a fairly innovative technology platform, we're aware that you have a business model that enables you to bring game content to operators that actually don't have the company's IMS platform and have their own platform. So it seems fairly versatile in that sense. I'm curious to know, to the extent that this is sort of a plug and play solution for gaming operators, how does that work? And also, I'd like to bring into this discussion how you integrate things like responsible gaming into your customer interface.
Sure. So we'll focus on the games first. Several years ago, management team decided to open up the games for other operators that were not on our Playtech player account management platform, which we call IMS. And we realized, well, we're actually missing a good part of the market. And so they made the wise choice to say, nope, we can make this available to everyone. We have two components. One is called the Playtech Open Platform. That's where we bring other providers in, but then we also have our marketplace, which is literally, as you would think, it's almost like the administrator of another IMS or another platform, as long as they're linked into to our product, our game network. They can go and they can click and choose, configure those games, and then press publish, and now those games are available on their website, depending on how they've wanted it to go, either to web or mobile, you know, mobile being the predominant portal, if you will, for people accessing games around the world. But it's more than just the games. So as part of our IMS complete system, we have something called the Customer Engagement Center. And that's really something, you know, I've looked under the hood of many other PAMs out there in the world, and nothing compares to our Customer Engagement Center in terms of ease of use and the ability to create player journeys and execute those for the players without a whole lot of intervention once you have the rules set. And so that will include promotions, obviously, you know, free spins is kind of, you know, table stakes. But the number of types of promotions, mystery parcels, leaderboards that we've put into our gaming system, when the operator that is not on our PAM but is using our customer engagement platform is ready to do that, we actually help set them up. We'll run the first, you know, four or five for them, teach them as we go, and then they're off to the races to do what they want with those promotion capabilities. So that's, you know, that being able to open that up beyond just saying, hey, here's one of our games and leaving it at that, we're offering more than that. We're offering a way for them to engage with those games. Now, if a player was on our IMS platform, those same tools would actually be available to third-party games as well, right? So that's part of how we say, well, you know, we probably can help you out even more if you, you know, switch to our IMS system. And, you know, we're in a bit of a market timing right now where those IMS replacements are actually taking place, you know, as we move forward. So we're excited about that. And then for responsible gaming, we actually acquired a company, I believe about 5 years ago, called BetBuddy, and have fully incorporated that technology into our IMS. And it uses the same methods and flows as our marketing engine. You know, our marketing engine is there to, you know, ask and provide additional options for players to play a second game or a third game. We use the exact same approach, and with about 70 different markers that we've identified over time and through research with, for instance, University of Amsterdam, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, to create a responsible gaming predictive model. And you'll hear us talk about BetBuddy. That is actually wrapped up inside of our IMS. We've now also made the decision that we can deploy that outside of our IMS. And so it is a decision that we made, even though it was a key, a unique selling factor and success factor for us. We realized the importance of the technology for the industry and to create better responsible gaming, frankly, so that we keep our players safe. We meet regulations. We actually, you know, will, you know, engage with regulators around the world to say this technology exists. You know, this is something that you can now utilize within your state or have operators utilize within your state. So we're now actually offering that outside of our IMS. Again, I view that as a disruption. You know, it's a good thing for us to do from a business standpoint, but it's a better thing for us to do for the industry standpoint.
Absolutely. So this sounds like definitely an overlay between AI and machine learning and detecting
Absolutely.
Behavior that could be deemed problem gambling. I'm also curious to know the extent you have these capabilities when we think about things like promotions. Obviously, it's become increasingly important as operators think about this, how to target those promotions effectively to make sure we're reaching the right customers. It's certainly true in sports betting, but it's true across the industry. I'm curious to know how your platform also enables you to connect with the right people with the right kinds of promotions.
That's exactly how we do it. So for instance, we start with tags and groupings. It is a very automated basis so that you can say, okay, I've got 10 layers of what's called player loyalty, right? And you know, for instance, you're going to want to make a certain type of offer to the level one that will be different than what you would provide to a level 10 player, right? We also then use different markers of, you know, their location, their deposit history, their play history, how long it has been since they've played, or how short. You know, if they're playing every day, we don't need to send them a promotion. They're having a good time. You know, and we give the ability for the operators to see and report out, you know, what campaigns are being most effective with which cohort. And then based on that, then they can either replicate that or make a change to it. So it's a very intuitive interface. It's graphical based so that you can easily read through and understand, okay, we got a spike here. Why did we get that spike? Oh yeah, we did campaign ABC. Well, let's try campaign ABC, tweak it a little bit and take it to the VIP level 5. And, you know, giving the operator the ability to do that easily and for whatever period of time that they want is, you know, frankly, something else I have not seen with other platforms out there.
That's excellent. One thing I wanted to ask about on the topic of technology capabilities, and it relates to a topic that in the iGaming business has become really quite prominent, which is live online casino games and having live online casino games via studios. And I'm curious to know how your technology expertise has translated into experience in that kind of studio development and player interface.
Well, I got to tell you, that's the real, you know, for me, that's the really fun part of the business, right? It is live. You're dealing with people. Just to give you a little anecdote, we have a system called Playtech One, which basically is a demo site, and we're able to go in and watch players play on these live games. And sometimes I'll log into one of our games called Adventures Beyond Wonderland, and there are 6,000 people playing at the same time. And the chat moderation and the chat aspect of it is just flying. People are having a good time. They're giving each other high fives. And so being able to watch that, you know, the progress from a straight blackjack game to these fantastic game shows that we've created is just something else. Maybe I'll give you kind of the, you know, we went from blackjack, roulette, baccarat, your basic games inside of the table area of a casino, to the first social or, I guess, collective online slot game called Buffalo Blitz, where, you know, the game just continues to spin, but you can join in any time that you want. And then that translated to a game called Everybody's Jackpot, which is about everybody winning a jackpot at the same time. It's got a bunch of cool aspects to it. It's basically in virtual reality, so that, you know, when you move to a different bonus game within that game, it's like you're flying down Fremont Street in Las Vegas. It's just a really cool experience. And then we move to our game show series with Adventures Beyond Wonderland, the Jumanji bonus game, which has been fantastic as well. We now have a millionaire video poker. So it's like your standard video poker, but it's live. We were able to garner the Family Feud brand from Fremantle, and are now turning that into a game that you'll see coming out very soon. And it's just, you know, there's so many more fun things that you get to do when it's not just gambling, but there's a game, but there's a gambling aspect to it. It just becomes that much more fun. So we're very excited about all of that. It's not just about the games, though. So, you know, we continue to upgrade all of our equipment, you know, our encoding, our decoding, so that we get a super high fidelity experience for all of our players, no matter where they are in the world, no matter where they are on what type of device. And we continue to open additional studios, not just for regulatory purposes, but also for catering to a specific market. So we did open our third live studio in the United States in Pennsylvania. It's our state of the art. I'd love to, you know, take you there if that's something that would be of interest to you at some point. Or we could fly down to Lima, Peru, and go see that studio as well. The one in Lima is, you know, it is custom built for the Latin American market, serving in both, you know, in Latin American Spanish and also in Portuguese. You know, the Portuguese aspect and the aspect of Brazil legalizing cannot be overrated. It is, you know, while we're obviously very excited about what's taking place in the United States, you know, the Latin American American market continuing to open up, and specifically Brazil with the largest population, heavy, heavy mobile use. I think the mobile phone or device count per capita is 2.1. So, you know, it's something that is very exciting to us. And we continue to grow our operations in Mexico and Colombia as well. So did I answer the question, though, specifically around?
No, it does. And okay. I'd love to pick up on the topic of developing these, you know, comprehensive technology packages and solutions for specific customers. And I know you've had a deal you're very proud of with Oklahoma's Chickasaw Nation and its Windstar Casino.
Yeah,
that's very specific to the kind of the Quest 3 gaming world. But I'm curious to know how it integrates things like mobile on premises. Maybe we could talk about that specific case as how you bring together some of these solutions.
Sure, Brian, this is something that I have wanted to see happen for our tribal operators here in the United States for the past 10 years. When I was at IGT, when I was at Gamblet Gaming, when I was at GAN, we just couldn't seem to get the product to move. And so when I joined Playtech a little over a year and a half ago, I thought I had this fantastic idea that I was going to bring to the company around Class 2 mobile on-premise gaming. And I show up and it's more than halfway done. So you could imagine the elation that I had with that. And it really started from the tail end of COVID, where the Chickasaw realized that, you know what, this is going to happen again. Something is going to happen. And we need to have a way for our players to continue to play with us, even if they can't come inside our building. Well, what do we have? We have our lands, we have our infrastructure, and we have the Indian Gaming Regulation Act. And that allows tribes to provide bingo-based games, which are Class 2 slots, anywhere on tribal property. And so we worked together with Aristocrat and Axie at the time. Aristocrat has great Class 2 games. There are a number of other providers out there that we're hoping will bring those games as well. But we started with a minimum viable product of our complete infrastructure. So the exact same infrastructure that runs the entire country of Italy is located on Chickasaw land to run their mobile on-premise. Now, the advantage that that gives them later is that should sports betting legalize, then they already have the infrastructure from us in place to do that. Should iCasino legalize, either on property or statewide, again, all of the technology is there for them right now. And so we are the infrastructure. We are the player account management system. We access their cashless wallet to fund our accounts. And the games from Anaxi are available inside of our lobby. And we utilize a beacon technology from GeoComply to create the geofence border. And the geofence border currently is just the gaming floor and will soon be expanded out into like the RV parking lot. And so they're taking a very measured approach to say, okay, we know we can do it on the casino floor. No argument. IGRA allows us to go as far as we want in terms of the actual borders of designated Chickasaw land. What they're going to do is they're going to go from this the current Windstar property to another 7 properties and do small geofences there, get everybody comfortable with it, and then we'll see how we can expand from there. Depending on, you know, how things go in Oklahoma in general with the governor and the tribes, you know, it's an interesting market. But at least the Chickasaw have the infrastructure and the games to get going. It's live now. They're keeping it as we call it like a closed beta. And I think they're taking the right approach, and we continue to enjoy a good relationship with them and are looking forward to the next phases.
And when it comes to things like geofencing, I mean, this sounds like the type of capability where it needs to be versatile, or if there are changes in regulations, you might have to, you know, be able to provide some flexibility in terms of the concentric circles around the gaming area that could be enabled for live game.
That's right. You know, I've seen the heat maps of the geofencing checks, and it's great because inside the fence that, you know, we see a map, and inside the fence there are all these green dots, and then up to, I think we found a couple that were, you know, a good 20 miles away, trying to access and play, and they, you know, the geofence closed that down. So, you know, we've got positive indications, and we have the negative, meaning that those players were not not allowed to play because they were not found to be inside the geofence. So the technology clearly works, and also it shows an indication that players are ready to play away from the actual casino. So it confirms both of our both of the design of the solution, and also confirms demand in terms of iCasino in Oklahoma.
Fascinating stuff. I'm curious to know, I think maybe we briefly touched on it, but things like single wallet payment systems, you know, the way payments are handled in online gaming is obviously critically important. And to the extent there are other strategic agreements or partnerships or capabilities that we haven't talked about that relate to iGaming, perhaps maybe we can touch on that as well.
Sure, sure. So for us, the player always sees a single wallet. We're just going to continue to add more payment gateways, and those payment gateway providers are providing more payment providers. You know, now we've got, you know, Venmo, Zelle, you know, beyond credit card and ACH. So all PayPal, all of the ways that consumers are used to spending and transferring money now are part of our single wallet system. We have, you know, internally the wallet that connects all of the payment gateways. So the player only sees, you know, one interface, but we got, you know, multiple networks running behind the scenes to make sure that that happens for a seamless experience for the player. What was interesting actually back with going back to the Chickasaw example is that we also integrated their cashless wallet, meaning they've got a cashless wallet so that they can, a patron on their phone has a QR code, they can pay to buy a pack of gum, to buy their dinner, to, you know, buy something at the store, and then also download money to a machine, a slot machine to play. We're part of that wallet as well, or we're accessing that wallet so that the player has access to those funds whenever they want to for mobile on premise. So we've made, you know, strides there. You know, the cashless wallet adoption inside of land-based casinos in the United States is still slow. Early experiences were not that hot, you know, for the patron, but all of the providers seem to have, you know, taken lessons over the past couple of years and dramatically improved their product. So it becomes basically just another good payment option for a system and a solution like ours that we have with the Chickasaw. So I think, you know, continuing to progress just to make it seamless and fluid for the player is key to what we're doing now. You know, that the IMS as a unifying technology is something that is, you know, we just continue to improve. I actually just got off of a roadmap discussion with our head who leads that product set. And, you know, everything is about making it easier for our administrators, our own administrators, when we're running a structured agreement, or our IMS customers where we don't provide that service, making it easier for them to get to the information that they need to set up their casinos, to set up the games, to set up promotions so that they can move fluidly through that. And we even, you know, we'll have something that may seem inconsequential. We have this aspect called the player activity timeline, which is basically like a running real time ticker of what that player is doing at that moment. So for instance, when a player contacts customer service and is, you know, frustrated about something and maybe not able to articulate exactly what is going on, we're able to see, oh, this guy tried to log in 7 times with the same password. Well, he needs to reset his password. You know, or we see that somebody calls in and that customer service representative immediately sees that this is a VIP player, then, you know, they may have more freedom to, you know, provide an additional, hey, sorry for your troubles, here's an additional $100 into your account for play. You know, we enjoy your, thank you for patronizing our site, you know, something like that. So while that may seem inconsequential, it, as a visual display, you know, for the CSR or the customer service representative, it's incredibly helpful. Right. So it allows that CSR to make sure that player is having a good experience, not just playing the games, but engaging with the name of the operator that we're serving for them or that the operator is serving themselves. And then, I think the BetBuddy technology and us making that decision to make it available outside of the realm of our IMS is something that we had to make a hard business decision. It wasn't all that hard at the end because we knew it was the right thing to do. But now it's about getting that out there and into the hands of operators that do not have our IMS system. And, that's a marketing and selling and awareness, such as this, so that they understand that it's available to them.
This is great stuff. Marcus, I'm curious to know when we think about the online gaming business generally, and obviously Playtech's involvement in it, many of the observers of the industry are aware of the fact that there are significant growth and penetration expansion opportunities, particularly in the iGaming part of the business, which is effectively available in some way, maybe in seven US states compared to upwards of two dozen, close to 30 for the online sports betting realm. I'm curious to know from your perspective, that it would seem to be an enormous growth opportunity, what your general view is or as specific as you want to get on the opportunity for growth just by way of new jurisdiction availability. We could talk about this globally, but certainly in the context of North America, it seems quite topical.
It's interesting because, I think, frankly, because I think sports betting was so pervasive even before PASPA was lifted, it was just done, under the cover, gray, however you want to call it. And sports is, as in the majority of cultures around the world, depending on what the sport is, it's part of the culture. And so by, legalizing and taxing sports betting, it just has legitimized it. And, it's something that's very interesting. I bet on sports myself, but, I'm a $10 to $20 a week kind of guy, it's more for fun. And I'm probably our sports book's favorite player because I bet with my heart and not with, the stats that I see. And so it is just now another part of enjoyment of the sports experience in the United States. And I think that's how legislation has been able to move forward fairly easily. iCasino, it feels new to, I think, American players, right? It is clearly a lucrative business for both the operator, well, for the operators, for providers like us and the state. If you continue to look at the news coming out of New Jersey, it's like, here's another record, right? I think New Jersey broke the, I can't, I'm sorry, one of the states this past week broke 67 million in handle, which is amazing. So in terms of legislation, there have been multiple bills that have been attempted that either never got read, never got to a vote. Not a lot of them have been voted down in terms of iCasino, but many times they just get muddled and other aspects and other topics get in the way. New York Senator Adobo put forward a bill, but the governor didn't put iCasino into her budget, right? So that's a mismatch. But maybe that can be reconciled. That was the first round of budget, and we'll see where that goes. But New York has also been dealing with the, the downstate additions and what's going on there and Manhattan. So, there are other competing issues and topics that are out there. We've still got, there's New York, Indiana, Ohio, as we've got states that haven't legalized sports betting yet, like Minnesota and Wisconsin, heavy tribal states. Will they push to have both sports betting and iCasino at one time? Or do they feel that, we can probably get sports betting passed now, but iCasino is going to take a little while longer, right? We continue to have proof points that the iCasino offering does not cannibalize the land-based casino. It's a very different experience. It's just like I love watching movies on Netflix and I love going to the theater. I'm going to go see a Marvel movie at the theater and I'm going to watch a drama on Netflix, right? So it just really depends on what that entertainment experience is that you're looking for. So I think we will still see a slow pace. I don't see a lot of legislation for iCasino passing in 2024. I think we'll see better bills being built. And then I think we'll see a resurgence of legislation put forward in 2025.
watching that carefully, particularly maybe when we get to the lame duck session of Congress or what happens as we get beyond a key election year.
Yes.
This has been great discussion. I'm curious, it's as we kind of wind down, I'm curious to know if you have any aspects of the Playtech story that we have not touched on that we should really emphasize as kind of a way to frame the whole corporate story.
Maybe not this one aspect as the whole corporate story, but it's been interesting. So, I started working for IGT 14 years ago, and brands were all the hot rage, and it was a race to see what brands that you could get. And then the importance of brands has kind of died down until recently. And we have seen with our Gold Rush Cash Collect game, which is the Gold Rush Discovery Channel show about people, I think they're in Alaska, that are digging for gold. It was off the charts in Europe, and we just launched it in the United States, and it's already a top performer. Go figure, right? Then we've got Walking Dead. That series has been off the air for a number of years. People love that show and they love that game. And so now, we have a fantastic leader in our branding group, or brand licensing group name. And he is just he's a juggernaut in terms of getting brands for us. And we don't just take the brand and slap them into a game model that works. We add functionality and we add features and graphics that really speak to the brand and make it enjoyable and recall aspects of the television or the movie or whatever brand it is, to create nostalgia or just more player engagement. So I think we'll actually see more brand content. Like I mentioned, Jumanji, Family Feud, Millionaire has been just a fantastic brand for us, globally for multiple years. But I think one of the other aspects is that we, for quite a while, kept our Playtech managed services really only for our structured agreements, something that almost is like a JV, right? And we decided, no, that's we're keeping the we're keeping too much of the good stuff just internally for those. And so now we offer our IMS platform, we also offer our services, and it's really a menu base. So if an organization feels like they already have great customer service, then great. Don't take customer service from us. Or if you've got risk and payments under control, great. If you don't, we have the experts that have done this globally in multiple jurisdictions for 15 years and can provide that services, those set of services to our operators. And then, two, three down years down the line, when they feel more comfortable, if they want to wean off of our services, we're totally okay with that. We structure it, we get a good termination, period, and then we make sure that they're all trained up, and away we go. And so I think that beyond just bringing the technology and the game content, now we're bringing our services to a broader set of customers as opposed to just our structured agreements. And that's a recent change and something that certainly the operators that we speak to here in the United States are very interested in discussion with us on.
Marcus, this has been really interesting. I think our listeners can certainly appreciate how dynamic Playtech is as a company and how dynamic the online gaming industry is as a sector. I just want to take a moment to thank you on behalf of Bloomberg Intelligence and thank our audience for listening. These are really interesting discussions, and I hope to have more of them. We hope to speak to you with you again in the future, Marcus, and want to thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and absolutely anytime, Brian.
Thanks. Well, this is Brian Egger again on behalf of Bloomberg Intelligence. I'd like to thank everybody and have a great day.